Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, LA. Ilona Europa, Accent On. Every Monday, the same chair. I'm not changing one. We have a really nice studio. Weather is ugly, but still it's not raining. Nobody said. People say it's supposed to rain. What's going on? This week's supposed to be ugly. I'm not talking to myself, although that's normal in my life. I have a lot of people in studio. But yeah, I was like, I hate to drive in rain. What about you?
Yeah, the weather's certainly been very confused out here lately. I think it's goes for all of us that we're a little kind of wondering what's laying ahead of us. You know, I don't. El Nino came and went, didn't it?
It's so funny because we talk about weather like we really care because we're in California. Nothing bad ever happens anyway. One day of this or that, but you know. It's nice to talk about something that most of country probably talk a lot about. Who are you?
Yeah, I'm Devin Calderoni. I'm an actor and comedian out here in the San Fernando Valley in LA.
Okay, that went very fast. Okay, one more time, your name. We're on Accented Show. Accent On is mostly about people with an accent. Then you need to pronounce it beautifully, slowly for people who maybe want to know perfectly your name. Again, what is your name?
My name is Devin Calderoni. I'm known for doing many accents out here.
This is so perfect. Okay, you really are good looking. You know that, yes?
Thank you. I've been finding that more and more.
This is the show. We are complimenting each other so much. But because I'm bringing hot people into the studio.
Well, I think less glam goes to me. I'm surrounded by three beautiful women.
We have one man in the studio. All eyes are on you. That's so cute. Okay, really, really nice to meet you. And, of course, we have my beautiful friend. Come on, you can share the microphone. Okay, you are here second time.
Hi. Yes, second time.
Okay, Jackie, what is your name? Second time.
So my name is Jackie Falcon. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. I'm a publicist, and I work with the White Fire Theater doing publicity, and I'm excited to be here today with you and with Rose and with Devin, and I'm meeting you for the first time. Yes, Mona, hello. Very impressive resume. We were looking at it
oh my gosh. Very, 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 very impressive. And of course, we have another beautiful lady to the right. Okay, what is your name?
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, she has a real accent. You know, everybody has accent. Okay, Jackie, you're supposed to have accent from Texas.
I do, actually. A little bit. I'm not very southern, but I can, every now and then it'll come out in words like y'all or y'all or what are other words that are southern?
Y'all.
Maybe y'all makes fun of it, but every now and then it comes out and you can tell.
But
that
you have
I'm
German
Texas.
German roots also.
I do have German roots, yes. Yeah. My mother's maiden last name is Schmidt. So, she's
for sure.
Very German.
Very German. Did you eat like real German food? Did she cook for you?
She's very Americanized, but definitely she loves different sausages and potatoes.
Oh, yeah? That's like Polish. Definitely. Polish, very Polish to Mona.
Yes.
Mona May. Oh, my gosh. She's like a real, real star in Hollywood. I can say you have a corner of the market that we can only say, how did you do that? How did you get to this point that really people knocking to your door and saying, we want you. And obvious, you know, you are a very unusual human being because you were born in India, but really you were raised in Poland. Yes. And then you were also in Germany. You speak, now for the moment, I was like, where am I? I'm Polish. We supposed to speak English. You both beautiful ladies, in a second, come back, to start speaking German. And I'm Mona, I want Polish accent from you. You don't have any. You don't have none.
I don't know what accent I have. It's all kind of cool. Strange accent, I think, from being born in India, living there till I was three, growing up in Warsaw, Poland, till I was a teenager, then moving to Germany, living there for a few years, and then coming to the States, you know, living in New York and Los Angeles, and who knows? I'm just, you know, part of the world.
You are for sure. And it's like 20 years, yes, you can call Hollywood your home.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying Los Angeles. Hollywood is your real home. Oh, we are so jealous. Oh, we are so admiring you. We are so proud to have you. And it's so proud to know that you are really, really also a Polish person. And, you know, but the world is small. Yes, yeah. That's what we are proving right now. Okay, coming back to our another beautiful, gorgeous guest. Okay, what is your name one more time?
Hi, my name is Rose Wakesho.
Oh, gosh, nice accent too.
Thank
and gorgeous
you.
Lady also. Okay, then we need to know a tiny little bit about you before we'll go deeper.
Oh, okay. So what to know about me? I have an accent too.
Can you get rid of the accent when you want to? Closer to
when microphone. When I want to, yeah, for sure. It means I will have to work every day on that.
Because like I say, one of the cool questions that was sent to me, and I'm thankful for that, because I met both of you today, is just hurts you to have an accent or helps you to have an accent?
No, not at all. Like, I was born in Kenya and I lived there 10 years. And then I moved to Germany and I lived there 16 years. And now I'm here in the United States since 3 years.
You're
yeah, I'm
conflicted.
30.
Conflicted. Very conflicted. Wow.
And actually, the funny thing about my accent is most of the people, because I'm African, like I say, most of the people, they think I'm African-American. So if I'm going to a room to talk with me just normal, and they're like, hold a second, if I answer something, what is that? You're not American? Really? I'm just like, no. I'm just like, oh, I'm original Africa, and I was born there. I speak Swahili, and I speak German, that the American love it. And you can have so many dates with that. But
okay, no, yeah. You stop us here, like, okay, no. She went private, we like it. No. We like it, we'll talk about the two. Wow, but now how many years you are in LA?
I've been living here for 3.5 years.
The good years?
Yes, amazing.
Really?
I love it. It's the first time, like I say, I used to live in Africa and in Germany. Like, for me, the first country where I feel myself, I feel comfortable, and I feel like home.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. We love this place. I love this place too. Okay, let's come back to our gentleman. Okay. Your accent abilities is something that really excites us, and you can be anybody that you can be, yes?
Yeah, for the most part, I consider myself a bit of a chameleon, you know, and especially being in a city like L.A., we're surrounded by so many rich dialects and accents. For a guy like me that loves to do it, it's really easy just to get on board, get in a conversation with someone, really start picking it up. I have a lot of eclectic people I work with. And as you get from like, yeah, I'll see my, and I sometimes you don't hear back. It's down to British, and of course, and you meet a lot of those people. Sometimes they're Cockney, you know. Recently I did a film where I was playing a German hitman, so that was fun. He was a bit self-indulgent, going around the corner.
Yeah,
you know, something fun like that. And then I'm writing a character-driven a script where, you know, there's a lot of Westerners. I was a little Aussie, but, you know, a lot of Old West type characters, you know, and so it's really fun, and I enjoy being surrounded by people.
I see you with guitar and singing Little Country, little bit.
Yes, darling. Yes, sir.
Oh my gosh. We discover stuff. Really, you do.
Saying, yeah, I do the piano more than I do the guitar, than the guitar, you know.
Guitar. Okay, we need to know where you were born.
I was born in SoCal, but the cool thing is my last name, Calderoni, is very Italian.
Very Italian.
deriving from the coolest thing in the world, which is a black pot, a cauldron. So my family has a rich history of making blacksmithing stuff. You know?
No.
Very prideful background. You know?
No, somebody needed to be true. Italian.
Yeah, it was Italian, a cauldron, or black pot makers. And then my other side, Scottish. So I have a very different background.
Yes. Obviously.
Because I look Scottish.
Really look Scottish. You really do. But you are probably very, the blood is Italian. I don't know.
Italian, baby. You know what's up.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Out here, I gotta be.
Do you like to drink beer and all those things?
I think, if, you know, when I'm drinking, I usually stick to whiskey, American whiskey, you know, but just because I'm not much for alcohol in general.
I don't know. I'm thinking one an evening, if somebody likes it, probably is enough. Anyway, okay. Mona May.
Yes, darling.
Again, full respect, but your life, did you really believe in the beginning of your career that many years later you can call yourself real success story in Hollywood? Did you believe? I know you are very well educated. Could you tell me, also tell us, of course, everywhere, where you were studying your art and where did you take your taste for the...
To start with your first question, I think it's so interesting because I don't know if anybody sets out to be successful and just... I mean, we hope very much so that we, you know, we do. I mean, I think we are ambitious, and as artists, we hope that we get to be understood. You know, I think that's what's so interesting. I mean, as you as actors, you know, because, you know, you can become the comedic genius, you can become the drama person, and you know, you hope that you completely, as a full-fledged artist, are, you know, can try anything. And I think when I started, I just wanted to do my art. You know, I just really wanted to be good at what I do. I did get really lucky breaks, I think, early on in my career with the movie Clueless, which I think everybody knows, which is so much fun.
That's like show. We can devote a show to this movie and a style and you know, a way how you, the vision. That was your vision, how to dress for the Clueless, completely yours?
Yeah.
Nobody said, maybe you can go this level. You really
Well, there's
said-
a director, of course. I mean, there's a script. First, as a costume designer, I think the most important thing is to receive and read the script, because this is kind of a little blueprint on what you'll be doing, you know, what kind of characters you'll be dressing. And then you have a director who's kind of like the general, the chief, you know, whose vision you're trying to work with. In this case of Clueless, it was very lucky because the director was Emmy Heckling, who was really, really into fashion. And we met on a pilot previously to the film and just fell in love with each other creatively. And when she wrote Clueless, she was right on the phone calling me and saying, you're the girl. You know, she really wanted someone that understands fashion, or European fashion, because it was all about, you know,
fitting
the future. It was the future of really high fashion in high school. And how do you translate when, you know, when you make a movie, it takes about 6 months to a year for it to edit, to, you know, put the music together. And I became kind of like a fashion designer, predicting the trends ahead of time. You know?
Oh, maybe you said the trends.
I think you some were, of them is.
That's what really happened, I think, you know. Probably you planned that. You say, okay.
You know, it's something that you try to do and set up, but it really hit the... It was the right moment at the right time, you know. I mean, again, when we made the movie, nobody was like, oh, my God, this is going to be the fashion movie of the 21st century, you know. We never thought. We really were working hard, you know, doing our best and you know, pushing creatively every kind of level, you know, for each character. And with such a great team, you know, it was really achieved. And I think when the movie came out, it really was, the timing was amazing because the grunge just finished. You know, Kurt Cobain and kind of, you know, all the girls in L.A. and all over the world, I think we were ready to just shed this,
something different,
you know, holes, baggy pants, holes, and the, you know, plaid shirts. So it just, I think it was the moment, you know, that just kind of allowed girls to be pretty and feminine, you know, and beautiful and have fun. And
that's what we call a right moment, right time. Everything for you seems like it. But it's not only that. I think your vision, where your taste,
of course. I mean, I think you have to know what you're doing. I think that, you know, it's a certain kind of taste or, you know, point of view that I have that I can bring to the picture. And I think that my whole body of work kind of shows what that is. You know, it's a lot of color. It's a very feminine kind of outlook, you know, point of on characters, you know.
You like ladies. You probably like women.
I love it.
I really believe that if I see a great dressed woman, I'm hoping somebody will really loved yes. what they do, and they love the ladies because yes. even shoes. I'm sorry, I am shoeaholic, but most of shoes, you know, most of shoes are not feeding us the ladies. I think somebody really missed the point. Shoes right. are good looking, but if you cannot walk in them, something is wrong.
Yeah.
No, with dresses, they need to be well wearable, but yes. they need to also have the coolness about them, the yeah. difference, you know. Yeah. Then Rose, you look beautiful today. It's really,
thank
I love
you
the,
so
you know,
pink
little,
is gorgeous.
Is she?
Wow.
Is she like,
so
woo, you know?
Thank
because,
you, girls.
Really, really beautiful. Okay, then I think we have a radio and, of course, 1 minute, but it's very friendly bank that I would love to everybody listen to. The commercial that we created is only 1 minute, but that's what we do. It's Polam. I don't know. Do you know Polam?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a Polish bank.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so beautiful. Yeah. Great, great people and very unusual financial institution. And I think they're expanding. And I think the show is perfect to sure. do commercial for them. And they are trying to reach more and more clients. Then that's what we'll do for a moment.
How would you like to own a financial institution? The Polam Federal Credit Union is a member-owned financial institution that serves exclusively the Southern California region with offices in Los Angeles and Orange. Like banks, Polam accepts deposits, makes loans, and provides financial services. The credit union is federally insured by the NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender. Unlike banks, Polam is nonprofit, which means better rates and lower fees, as well as great personalized customer service. After all, when you're a member, you're also an owner. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us at polam.org. Polam Federal Credit Union, bringing the charm of Europe to Southern California.
I think that's so sweet and very, very different, innovating bank. And maybe people would like to check this bank out. I have every links and little bit short stories when it comes to our guest. And today, really, really international group of people. I'm so, so happy. Coming back for one more minute, Mona, because all your movies that you are involved with, they are not predictable. You cannot predict who will be the next person who wants to work with you and, you know, agree with your vision. And I'm sure this must be very nerve-wracking every time when you enter to conversation, because maybe they want you or maybe they have five different people that they don't tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, in any field, I think there's, you know, the top players that you're kind of fighting against or with, you know, because there is the ladies who've been in the business longer than I have, to have Oscars, you know, and you do have to come to the meeting prepared. You have to really, you know, fight for your right, I think, creatively, to win the director, to express to him that, you know, you're the best for the job, that you're going to bring something to the table very different to anyone else, you know. And I'm always very prepared. You know, I read the script. I do a presentation. I mean, I do research, really dive into each of the characters. So when I'm having that conversation, it really shows that I care, that I really, you know, I'm this creative being to support the director's vision completely, fully, you know.
Again, because you are very, very successful, we all are fighting for our place in the entertainment world. I, for many, many years, I was in Europe and I was doing pretty well. Then I moved to America for personal reasons. And then I barely spoke English. I needed to fight for my way to compose my own songs and write the lyrics in English. Till this day, I don't know how I'm doing that, knowing 500 words over and over the same, because I didn't finish any school in America. But, you know, the finding people who want to work with me, arrange for me, and I always was reaching to the top. I didn't like... No, like didn't like. I never felt that I supposed to start from the bottom. Till this day, I don't know where this comes from. But I think what I'm saying, all of us have drive,
yes.
different drive, and I think that having a drive probably leads you faster to success, whatever we call this, the journey to get something that we really long for. And but with you, every movie needs something else from you. For me, I know. Okay, I'm a singer. I'm a songwriter. Okay, I'm writing, and I'm now on the radio for 3 years. Dream that I had no idea I'll be continuing, but people listening, thank you. Then that's why I'm here over and over. But with you, this is like you wake up one day and you need to have a mouse. that you need to dress. please, you tell us about Mouse. We love this Mouse so much fun.
I mean, that movie was quite amazing.
We are talking about Stuart.
Yeah, maybe. Stuart Little too, because it was my first foray into CGI costumes, which is computer generated characters, which is, you know, now kind of the rage. But it was one of the first.
He really was not live. Film. This Mouse wasn't real.
He was really? One of the best actors to dress because he never talked back. He just put whatever I told him to.
He was beautiful, charming, and the clothes were great, and he was person.
Yes,
that
was yes.
Well, you make her.
I think part of the wardrobe, I think that's what the director wanted, is to really look for him like he shopped at The Gap.
Oh,
you know, we achieved. I mean, it was the hoodies.
You must smile every time when you were thinking your face was like, oh gosh, you know, I wish he's alive. Oh, it was a beautiful movie, really lovely. And for everybody, how cool is this? We'll come back to the haunted house because that's something very, very unusual and different. Probably that was a challenge for you.
Yes, very different. Fun though, really fun. Okay. You know, and it's, I think, you know, working with different actors, that's what's so fun too. It's the directors, it's the actors, you know, each project is so different and you have to really make a connection with the actor, you know, see what they are thinking, you know, what they envision for the characters, what are their own personal preference, what their bodies are, shapes are, because sometimes, you know, you can draw amazing, beautiful gowns, but then you have somebody that they cast and they walk into the room and it's like, oh my God, this is never going to work. So you have to find the right thing, you know, you have to really kind of co-create it to find the essence of it, because I think the best part of my job is when that really happens in the fitting, when you guys come in and we kind of go through the clothes, we try things on, and, you know, maybe this yellow sweater that I thought that was the best thing in the world completely looks horrible, but this one brown one that was at the end of the rack, just kind of like a little throwaway, it became it, you know. And the moment when the actor puts the right clothes on, it's almost like palpable in the room. You have almost like, you know, mm-hmm. the hair stands on your arm. I'm sure it happened to you guys in the fitting when it's like, it's here. That character just, you know, was born in that moment, and how much that helps actors, you know, to really find it completely. Mm. I mean, sometimes the clothes have to be too tight or itchy or, you know, or too loose, and that will make it really feel like they are they're supposed to be.
Gosh, I see new business for you, Mona. We're supposed to have Mona for the hundreds people for a really good price, that if you want to feel a certain way for the day that comes or things that are important, I'm not talking wedding or stuff like that, important things, they can reach to Mona and say, that's who I want to be for the moment. That's how I want to feel. Because this is really, when we dress ourselves every morning for important meeting or something, many times we make mistakes. I'm guilty of it. Oh, my God. So many times I thought I was supposed to be like crazy looking. I had this funky extension and funky ponytail. Even still, my picture is there from this moment when I felt I supposed to be bigger than life, which in my head I am, but maybe this wasn't working, you know, too short skirt still, you know, whatever. Somebody really like you, maybe even you're supposed to meet a lot of ladies and talk to them, because you really create persona that fits in a role, and you can really bring the actor, like you say, to the right feelings in time of the filming, you know, that even when you say there's something to be itchy or because he or she is supposed to feel uncomfortable with dress, I never thought about that.
Yeah. And that's really the job of costume designer. We want to make sure that when they come on set, when the director is ready, the lights are ready, you know, the camera is going to roll, they walk in and they 100%. When I did my job, they walk in and they completed the character. Yeah. You know, they have the makeup, they have the hair, they have the clothes on, they remember their lines. They are completely that persona that they're supposed to play. You know?
They must sometimes have a special woman. Like, they're not too, I want shorter, I want this. They must.
Of course.
And you are like, okay with that, and you want.
You have to. I mean, that's, again, you know, I'm part of psychologist. I'm part mother. I'm part everything, you know. I mean, it's there's a lot of pressure on actors. I think that, you know, tabloids show it like, oh my God, they're just making 20 millions and it's just all fun. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, you really, you know, we work from 5 a.m. sometimes till 10 p.m. every day. They have to know their lines. They have to wait around for the cameras to set up for light. I mean, it's grueling. Hard. I mean, it really is grueling. It's, you know, a lot of us, we don't see our families. You know, we travel, we're on location, we're on our trailers, we live out of hotel rooms and suitcases.
Great life.
It is, you know, it's like a gypsy. We are gypsies. We're complete gypsies.
I know, it's always two sides of the story, but I know that artists don't want differently. That's what we want. We want both worlds, and it's very hard to have private life in this crazy entertainment world. Okay, my beautiful, wonderful young artists. Three of you, but Jackie also, you are an actor too, but we represent the theater that I think I got very, very excited about. I had all of you from Whitefire Theater 3 weeks ago or something. We had a great interview. We had head of the theater. It's for-profit theater. I like that. Very unusual. Normally, they don't ask for money. They make money. They survive of creating more and better things. Then I think, Jackie, because you are PR lady for this theater, and we want to make good. It's in Sherman Oaks, and a lot of people say we don't know this theater. And, of course, it's so many places that everybody can see and just enter. But if we really believe that... Wi-Fi theater is really, really important, and people need to know and need to just try this theater once, then they will be coming back. We had Corby Waste, who is like the biggest fan of the theater. He just doesn't miss anything, and he brings over and over people. That's why I found out about this theater, and I said, okay, Corby, if you say, very important guy, you know, very smart gentleman, I trusted him, and he was right. Then tell me, what is going on right now in the theater? What the two is involved in? Because they have good stuff going on, very, very much. We have pages we cannot forget because we want to use our time to the best for the theater. Whitefire Theater in Sherman Oaks. I cannot wait to go and see their shorts for the first time. I'm learning about this theater like Mona is learning about film before. Then I better be shocked and loving to be there, okay, and see everything what you do. Okay, please tell us, Jackie.
Yes, so the Whitefire Theater is great. It's great for any sort of date night or if a person is a lover of the arts. They do amazing shows there. One of the really popular shows that they do is a rapid fire 10 minute little plays in a period of 2 hours, and they're called the short series. And we have one coming up in the summer, and it starts at the end of June, and then also in the rest of July, every Tuesday. And we have two of the actors from that series here today. We have Rose and we have Devin, and they've also written pieces for this show, and they've submitted for it. And it's really a lot of fun. I've been a part of that theater now for a couple of years, and
that even we imagine that people are entering from the street and they will have 10 small shows in one big 2 hours of
shows going on rapid fire. So it's,
and every 10 minutes show has different topics.
That's right.
Sad, fun, ugly, mean,
comedian. They're all funny, but very different. And every 10 minutes we have a different show going on. So if you don't like the first one, you've just got 10
it's
minutes
like
of it.
9 more minutes. Right. 8 more minutes. It's not like one. Hour and a half. I like this. It's like speed dating. That's so cute. Okay, then that sounds really exciting because you have like so much memories after 2 hours. And then I know that directors invite people, 100 people, yes, because it's like 100 seat theater or something, that you can mingle with the actors and you just can know them better. Snap the picture, have a little bit snacks or something. What this comes from? This is like home. So cute. Devin, what you are doing there? You just tell us about your more little bit about your acting maybe journey. Let's start maybe from acting journey and then let's sit for 5 seconds on Whitefire Theater.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been performing and entertaining for my entire life and starting really young. You know, I was doing it back in high school and all that stuff and sort of, you know, started doing a little more professional work as I got a little older and through college and all that stuff. And then I made my way out. I've only been out in the LA area about 2 years now. But Whitefire has certainly become my home, you know, because it's part of a major turn in my acting journey. because I'm allowed to really explore those big characters where normally out here in the city, they just want you to be yourself. Yeah. They just want you to provide what you are all the time because it's easy and stock. But what I get to do here at Whitefire is explore those really big characters with different accents or different perspectives on things.
And they allowed you to write. Absolutely. Write. How cool is that they invest in actors who have this needs for writing or dreams that they could do something like that. And they say, okay, if you are good, we have comedy or whoever they choose what is good. You can really do your shorts. Yes, you can be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wasn't primarily a writer, but this collaborative ensemble has provided a platform for me to explore that with another fellow, Gerardo Alacon, who's a comedian out here. And we've been able to write something and now workshop that, and Rose gets to work on her stuff too. So it's a really collaborative ensemble. It's kind of rare out here. Most of the time you're just expected to get your stuff, get it going, and be ready to go.
And staying 2 years with the same theater, this says something too. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't want to leave this place. You just say, what is the next season? Will give it to me and to the theater.
Yeah, it's wham, bam. It's like SNL style, you know, a lot of just rapid sketches and a lot of different types of things. Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. And obviously, Rose, because we are talking little comedian here, little gentleman who seems like has fun, to write happy stuff. This will be happy or mean or angry?
Yeah, mine's more Mel Brooks-ish, sort of inspired, Blazing Saddle-ish right now. Kind of those fun, up-in-the-air, sort of silly commentary on social life and social interaction of the day. But set
but
in
it
older
has some
time.
French stuff going on, yes? With French accent?
Would
be a French accent?
It's French, you know. Je voulais voir que j'en.
But Rose, when it comes to you, this is something so different what you do. And your life story in LA develops in many different directions, and some of them are very, very serious. Could you tell us what's going on in your life right now?
Right now, I'm a member of the Whitefire Theater too, a couple of years, and I'm very happy there. Like I say, I have an accent, and for most of the people here in Hollywood, if you go outside to submit for something, all these scripts are not written for people with accent, you know, and it's very interesting for me too. Sometimes I will submit and I will go on audition, and then at that time the casting director or the director will say, you know what, actually this character can have an accent, so just feel free and don't think so much about your accent. Even though, like, talking about the Whitefire Theater, and I had the chance to write my own piece, actually, I was writing a little bit about myself, like like an African girl. The piece name was 50 Shades of Grey. So the African girl is living here in America with a white fiancé. And the problem they have, like, communicate, like, sometimes you say something different as not American because you translate it different. Because I always say I looked like a deer in the red lights, because for me it makes sense. Like a deer, see the red lights? So they're like, no, it's not red lights. I was like, what? I don't get it.
Yes.
Yeah, really. And even though the problem, like, how his family thinks, like, oh, everybody in Africa is naked. And it's like, nine? No. So the piece I wrote was about that, and I'm very happy that we had journalists from LA Times there, and they even wrote about my piece. They really love it, and I'm just I really appreciate to be at the Whitefire, even though here in Hollywood, to do what I love. Even though if you have an accent, it doesn't mean like you have to give up. Just be prepared. You never know what's going to change. Be positive and just go for it.
Yeah, I have this sweet plan. We just talk a little bit on the show because with all the people who are coming to this show with amazing accents, and they are musicians and writers and just so creative people, and they all speak unusual accent. I said, what about if we create a show that people can be themselves and they can bring into our show their own, the best of what they do, and somehow we need to write a story that will mix the stuff, and of course have a second generation that parents, like I'm teaching amazing talented people who parents are from India, but the children are American Indian, but boy, the culture in these children is so deep. Then when I'm singing, we are adding also saw classical way of singing India to the pop music. And these children right now are recognized really, really highly because they mix and match culture, Indian culture and American culture into pop music, which is just very, very unusual. And I had really very positive, saying this is hard. Let's see if we can put show that really, really can bring different style of music, different point of view, different accent, because that's what street is about. This is America. And now we all have an accent of mama or grandpa or somebody. They all speak and cook some funky food. Really weird food. Okay. Mona again, Mona May. I'm so happy that you can make it today because I said maybe we can do next week or something, but there's because you are busy.
Yes.
And you are like, where are you going right now? You mentioned in April. I'm doing this.
Just going to a big meeting tomorrow, so who knows? I could be in Atlanta, I could be in New York, or maybe even in Europe. So it's always a wide open kind of situation.
And Hollywood is your home?
Hollywood is my home now, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then you like to come back. What about Europe? You don't feel like you're a big part of European too?
I think so. I think that's forever in my heart. My mother lives in Berlin. I still have some family in Warsaw, in Poland. So, yeah. I go visit and spend
You never
time
had
there.
A chance to do costume design for movies, Polish movies?
No, I have not.
Come on, people!
Someday.
This is a good moment to scream out loud. I hope they wake up and they understand. Maybe you will give them even break. A little break.
I love that. I think it would be wonderful. I think that, again, as we spoke before, it's so nice to do all kinds of different projects with different kind of filmmakers, And I mean, European cinema is very sophisticated and beautiful. And,
Deeper.
The stories that they tell are quite amazing. And
very personal, heartwarming sometimes, and very tough. And, I think... I don't want to say pop culture in America. It's a real pop culture we really live in, which is great because life is so short. More and more we think with all what's going on around the world with the scary moments, and you never know if you survive another holidays or shopping, if something doesn't happen.
Right.
Life really is supposed to be entertainment. Big part of life supposed to be entertained well and spend your money for the something. Then you go to movies, you just come back and you love your mouse forever. You want to go to store right away and buy one, or just you start wearing pink proudly that's because the movie was about it. But now we are talking Haunted House. This is like so smart. I was reading them like, I need to talk to Mona about it. Where the technology, how did you even understood where you want to go with this design?
Well, I think, that's what's so fun too, that I really get to explore with each movie, a different process, get to really play. And what was really fun in this film, it was the same director that directed Stuart Little 2. So we already had a shorthand, we trusted each other. So sometimes, you have a little bit more room to play, to bring crazy ideas to the table. And when we were talking about the ghost in the graveyards, which was a big part of the film, big part of the ride that's at Disneyland, he wanted to make the ghost very organic and not CGI, not computer-generated kind of lights walking around. So I came up with this crazy idea the way that we lit the ghosts and the costumes was with something that's called Scotch Light. That's on your tennis shoes and road signs. So when you drive by, when the light hits it, it actually reflects straight to your eye. And what it is, it's microscopic glass beads. And it's phenomenal. So it's like a gray powder. Wow. So what I did, I actually designed all the costumes for the graveyard, which are, turn of the century ball gowns and, suits and hats. And then we hand-painted them with the mixture of this powder and paint. So we created patterns like lace patterns, plaid, outline of gloves, earrings, hats. So then the way that we had to shoot it, they had to bring a camera and they put like a ring of lights around the lens, so it actually reflected on
back.
And it popped it back. Yeah, so it was
very
beautiful. I mean, it's just and it took a few months to figure out the right
mixture.
The first test was like, wow, it was so bright the camera just could even see. Then I ended up putting some paint into it, so we had some colors as well. I mean, it was phenomenal. Those are the movies that are really Hollywood movies, where you can you get to play as an artist. You really get to kind of figure things out. Same with Stuart Little, when I was able to work with the CGI designers, you know, guys on the computers, you know, doing fittings with the mouse in a computer. You know, those are the really kind of amazing, amazing moments, you know, and that led me actually, those two jobs, you know, I did such a phenomenal work on them that led me to get Enchanted, which was, I think, wow. You know, I'm one of the proudest moments of, you know, of my art, I think, because that movie was a 2D animation. So I designed costumes for like a film, old, you know, Disney film, animated film. And then these characters became live action characters. So it was, you know, the transition. I don't even know if it was ever done like that before, where you went from 2D flat characters and then the same costume then became three-dimensional on an actress, you know, running around Amy Adams in the middle of, you know, Central Park and Times Square in New York City, Susan Sarandon, you know, playing Maleficent. And again, you know, a lot of research, a lot of, you know, making the fabric, painting the fabric, months and months of research and development, which this is really, you know, for costume designers, a dream. It's a dream job.
Can you go sleep peacefully? Like when you put
not sometimes. I mean, sometimes the mind just still goes.
Yes, and
you wake
imagine.
Up in the middle of the night. Oh my God, I know how to solve this, or let's try this again. And you know, it's a lot. I mean, it's a really big job. I think as a costume designer, people don't realize that I'm not just the kind of creative being, but I also have to run a crew sometimes of, you know, 60 people and pattern makers, bootmakers, you know, seamstresses. People who work on set, who has to keep the continuity. You know, I have to run it as a business too. I have to have a person in my department who just deals with money and paying the bills and
okay
POs.
We don't know that. I really didn't know. I thought that you're like sketch and you're choosing fabric.
Oh, it's lovely.
You're saying, and then you say that's how it's supposed to be, pay me your money and my money. No,
wow,
you are dealing
job.
With financials, you're overlooking spending.
It's my department. And again, you know,
you make me tired thinking that I maybe one day would love to do this. No, I don't.
Right,
this is it's a beautiful job, and
you're really
creative.
Thank you.
You know, your creative mind makes the memories and plants forever the pictures of everything what we see, and we never see actors naked. We only see them dressed, and somehow they come together, and you put the dress on them. Then, wow, it's really beautiful. I will do a little bit break with one song, and it's one of the haunted song, if I can find it. Can I find it? No. Funny, okay, sad song. That's fine. Anticipation, one of those songs that changed my life forever.
We'll be right back.
pretty fast cut. I think I did this by accident, but God said enough of this song, then it's okay. Okay, Mon Ami, very, very known costume designer. You have probably a lot of titles. Could you give us a few titles outside of this one in Hollywood for very big movies? You know, if people call you, they call you Mon Ami, costume designer.
Yep.
Okay, that's queen, it. That's enough. We like it. Okay. I know that, Devin, you have some announcement. You want people to know certain things about what is upcoming in the show. We need to give this to the theater. We would love to support theater for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody that's thinking about dropping by the White Fire Theater wants to check it out. We're going to be doing the summer shorts. We're going to be debuting that at the end of June. And running that through the end of July every Tuesday. I believe it's at 8 o'clock every Tuesday. Tickets are $20 at brownpapertickets.com. I don't believe they're doing goldstar.com anymore. I think they're just sticking to Brown Paper.
It's over. No more gold star.
Yeah, no
it's
more.
Over. What do we have
no
right
more.
Now?
No more.
Yeah, no more.
Can you buy in at the door? Or?
Yeah, at the door. Nice. And I believe there might be a slight discount on Brown Paper tickets, but I'm not going to put my name on that yet until we verify that. But it's just off of 13500 Ventura Boulevard, right down the street from here. So hopefully,
it's so cool title, White Fire Theater.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful, yes?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
Is anything that, because, okay, I need to say, in 3 minutes, we'll be leaving this studio. We'll be having 10 minutes to just relax and go to a studio across this one. We'll be having our video show.
Yay.
We all are on camera, and I love it. We'll be talking a few things that we talk on this show. We'll be repeating, because we want on both shows to have very important conversations that are important to all of us. But yeah, if everybody wants to see us, anybody who listens, please switch to video channel in 10 minutes. Accent on TV, the best of Poland, Europe, and the rest of the world will be there. And I'm telling you, we all are hot. It's very important to see us. They will be really, really cute shows. Yes, it's so nice to see young and very talented and excitable artists, because I think, Mona, when you look at youth like that, you know, we are you are very young too. I'm older. The oldest here, you just shoot me. But I'm teaching so many wonderful, you know, I'm coaching, singing, writing for them. And because I have so many young people in my studio, I feel I never think about age.
Right.
Yeah, they bring so much goodness, and I want to keep up with them. That's good. But you probably too, when you are looking on the street and see these people clothed this way, that way, do you like really get inspired?
It's constant research. It's like, you know, filing. Everything is, you know, when I looked at my brain just files it, how somebody is wearing something, you know, inspired by a way the pieces were put together, or colors.
My black blouse, boring one, doesn't inspire you so much.
Well, I like the little cutout lace, the little velvet cutout. That's very nice.
That's very nice. That's I had no idea today they have some hearts somewhere. I'm like, what? How did they put this on? Oh, maybe that's leaves. But yeah, you're right. To have something unusual, and we all know when we see the person passing us by, it's like, oh, you know, we are noticing, but hey, we didn't talk anything about gentlemen's, because clothing gentlemen, this must be another challenge.
Yes.
Are you clothing the gentlemen's because you would like anybody that is around you look this way? Are you taking inspiration from people that you know and putting on actors, or just you really fresh?
Well, again, you know, everything comes from the character. Everything comes from the script.
Okay.
So that's kind of where, as a costume designer, it's my first and most important job, is to bring that character off the page into a human being with their legs and arms and, you know, large breasts, small breasts, long legs, short legs. All of that I have to take into consideration. But dressing men is fun. I just finished a show called Grandfather with John Stamos, which was on Fox television, and it was phenomenal to dress him, because he is so hot.
Oh,
and
yes,
he has the best body.
Yes.
And I mean, we were making him suits.
He'll never get
Dolce
old.
Gabbana. I mean, you know, he had the best shirts, the best beautifully cut suits with, you know, little hankies in his pockets and, you know, beautiful cufflinks. It was a dream, you know. It really was a dream to
but he's gorgeous. But he's sometimes gorgeous. Probably you don't have so many gorgeous men. But we will continue this topic. Then please, everybody, they just told me I need to finish the show. Therefore, right now, Accent On with Ilona Europa. Thank you so much. Next Monday, we are here. And I know, I hope, Manamay will be back. I will talk a little bit more about your movies, past movies and future. Will
Sounds
we?
Sounds great.
Yay! And of course, again, one more time, if somebody wants to get in touch with actors that we had here and they have something for beautiful accented Rose or David, you can really get crazy with accents. You can, you cannot steal Polish accent. It's very hard to do this. Russian is tougher, easier. But we are between, then it's not so easy. Then, yeah, how we can find Jackie, how we can find all of actors one more time, where we can knock to the doors and say, I think Rose was perfect. Her accent was just dynamic. And then I saw her on video. She's my girl for the few and other movies or projects or commercials.
So all the actors are located on the Whitefire website, which is whitefiretheater.com. And each actor has a bio and a headshot on there. So they can contacted through that way.
Oh, good. I like that. And pictures are there and we can click and know a little bit more. Manamay, everybody can see you on your IMDb and, of course, on your website. And Accent On has all links there, too. Then we love you. Talk to you next week.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.